Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah 3, verse 15. It says, and I'll give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. See that? Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. My pastor and I, right? Okay. So last week we began a teaching. You know, this year what we're doing is we are just kind of focusing on the local church. Okay, so we've seen quite a number of things. So last week we picked up a new series on the office of the pastor. Okay, who exactly is a pastor? What are the duties of the pastor toward you? And what are your duties towards that same man or woman, as the case may be? Alright, so we began last week by examining just a little bit this particular text, Jeremiah 3 verse 15. Okay. Says, I'll give you shepherds, Rohim in the Hebrew, remember that, which is the plural form of Rohi. All right, and the verb of that is Raha. Okay, so we said that a pastor is a shepherd is a pastor. Okay, the Rohi literally in Israel was one who would tend after sheep, keep sheep, okay, feed sheep, guide sheep, direct the sheep. Okay, so we said that word Rohi is used in three main contexts in the Old Testament. Remember that? First one is used for a literal shepherd. Okay, someone who feeds sheep. You know, today we call that an herdsman. Okay, so that would be the literal usage of that word. Okay, then secondly, it was used for Yahweh, right? Yahweh was the shepherd of his people, the people of Israel, right? Okay, so we said we can even say that Yahweh was their pastor, right? Because shepherd means pastor, pastor means shepherd. It's the same thing. Alright, so as their shepherd, their Rohi, you see that he would go before his people, right? And lead them. He would go behind his people, protect them, and he was also in the midst of his people. That was represented by that tabernacle of Moses, right? In the midst of the camp. So then thirdly, we said that the Rohi, the shepherd, was used for the leaders of God's people. Okay, so those leaders can either be religious or political. Okay, so the priests, the prophets, and also the kings were called shepherd, Rohi. Follow that. David is such a one. Moses as well was such a one. You know, those who had that place of leading God's people. Alright, and then we said that amongst these physical Rohi in the Old Testament, you find quite irresponsible ones. Amen. You know, Saul is such an example. And we said that in the Old Testament, godly leadership is characterized by the Spirit of God. Remember that? A godly leader in the Old Testament is one who has or operates by the Spirit of God. One without that Spirit is ungodly. Okay, so you see how that the Spirit of God left Saul and the same came upon David, right? So I trust that was clear, you know. And then we said that God himself makes a promise that a coming seed would come on the scene, right? The seed of David who would serve as shepherd over his people, all right? So that will be realized actually in the New Testament. And that same shepherd will pour out his spirit on his people. Hallelujah. So amongst them you find shepherds as well. you know, because the shepherd spirit is now upon them. So we moved into the New Testament. Then we saw as well that that was shepherd, poimen, right? Poimano, the verb, was also used, interestingly, in three main contexts. Okay, first of all, it was used for little shepherds, okay, those who are herdsmen of a flock. Then secondly, it was used for Jesus. Jesus is that Davidic or eschatological shepherd. Amen. The one promised in the Old Testament, who is actually is Yahweh in the flesh. Amen. Okay, so what does he do? He comes on the scene to seek those who are lost. Amen. And to save them. Hallelujah. Alright, so today we just proceed into the third context in which this word shepherd, poimen, poimano, was used, which is actually for pastors. Amen. So this will be number three. Alright, pastors, the under shepherds of Christ, you know, which is actually the focus of this teaching. Now recall that in the Old Testament, godly leadership is associated with the Holy Spirit, right? Then we said that shepherds chosen by God function by His Spirit. Now so did Jesus. Hallelujah. From His birth to His death, Jesus walked in the power of the Spirit. You see that the Spirit was pivotal in His conception. Matthew 1 verse 18 makes that clear. Please, you may turn your Bible there. Matthew 1 verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Underline that, child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 of that same chapter reiterates. It says, but while he thought about these things, that is Joseph, okay? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Underline that, of the Holy Spirit. Now the child is called the child of the Holy Spirit because he was born of a miracle. Follow that? He was born of a miracle. So the Holy Spirit, not man, was behind his conception. Hallelujah. You see that in Luke 1 verse 35. Please turn your Bible then. Luke 1 35. It says, and the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Underline that, come upon you, and the power, underline that, power of the highest will overshadow you. Underline that, overshadow you. Therefore, also, that only one who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Underline that, the Son of God. So you see that whatever will happen in Mary's womb will happen by a miracle. You see that there? It says the power of the highest will overshadow you, which actually is an allusion to that glory cloud. Amen. Of the Old Testament, that Shekinah, which was a kind of picture of God's presence. Okay, so you see a cloud or the glory cloud coming upon Mary. You see that? So that glory cloud overshadows her. Follow that? That's the imagery here, which actually is the Spirit of God coming upon Mary. So that is the allusion here. The glory cloud will come upon you. The power of God will come upon you. Okay, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of God will come upon you. So God worked a miracle, hallelujah, in Mary's womb for her to conceive without male impute. Follow that? That's what that means, okay? So nothing sexual is involved here. Amen? Okay, it's a miracle. Now, not only that, so you see that in his birth, the Spirit was pivotal, right? All right, then not only that, Jesus is also empowered, hallelujah, by the Spirit for ministry. Okay, he is born of the Spirit, he is also empowered by the Spirit for ministry. Now, this happens at his baptism, Matthew 3, verse 16. You see that there? Matthew 3, verse 16. It says, when he there being our Lord Jesus Christ, had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. Underline that, from there to descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Underline that, upon him. And you find this same event recorded Mark 1:10, then Luke 3:22, then John 1:32. Mark 1:10, Luke 3:22, John 1:32. So God put a spirit upon the good shepherd. See that? So and this happens in fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. Remember that? Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. He says, I have put my spirit upon him. See that? Like that, okay, I've put my spirit upon him. It will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And that servant here is Jesus the Christ. We've established that, right? Ebed Yahweh. Remember that? Okay, so that servant is Jesus the Christ, and upon him is the Spirit. Also, you see, similarly, Isaiah 11:1-2. Isaiah 11:1-2, it says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. See that? And a branch shall grow out of its roots. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him. Underline that, from there to him. It says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, Jesus is that rod. Amen. Or tree branch springing forth, hallelujah, from the family of Jesse. You know, that is David's father, right? Okay, so coming from that bloodline. Do you get it? All right, so Jesus has the Spirit upon him as the good shepherd. But not only that, not only does Jesus have the Spirit upon him, Jesus also baptizes with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see that John makes that clear. Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. It says, John is speaking here, indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He says, it will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Underline that, it will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See that? Or I see John 1:33. John 1:33. It says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. It says, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You see that? Underline that, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. You see that Luke 3:16 also records this same statement. So you see that Jesus has the Spirit to give the Spirit. You see that so far? He is baptized with the Spirit so that he also can do the same. Hallelujah. So through Jesus, there would be an outpouring, hallelujah, of the Spirit on his people through Jesus. All right, you see that Jesus himself promises that. The Father gives the Spirit to all who ask him. He says, Luke 11:13. It says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Hallelujah. And learn that from give to him. Alright? So the Father gives the Spirit to all who ask. See that Jesus speaks of this Spirit as the helper of his people. John 14:16. That Spirit is the helper of his people. John 14:16. It says, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Underline that, another helper, that he might abide with you forever. 17 says, the Spirit of truth. That is that helper, okay? Underline that, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. Underline that, will be in you. Similarly, in verses 25-27 of that same chapter, it says, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you. 26 says, but the helper, underline that, the helper, the Holy Spirit, underline that, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. It will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. All right, two chapters away, it speaks of the Spirit again. John 16, verse 7. Let's see that quickly. John 16, verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage, or it is expedient. Okay, some translations say, that I go away. It says, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. You see that? Online helper, okay? But if I depart, I will send him to you. Hallelujah. All right, then also in the book of Acts, Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Underline that, from when to you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So you see that just as God promised in the Old Testament, the shepherd will pour out his Spirit on his people. See that? So the Spirit of the shepherd will dwell in them and upon them, and because of this, they too would become shepherds. See that? Okay, or on the shepherds. So there will be Jesus, the chief shepherd, then there will be on the shepherds. Follow that? Amongst his people. So actually, in the real sense, every pastor is an assistant pastor. Follow that? Assistant to Jesus. You get it? Okay, and on the shepherd. So, having seen all of this, let's then move quickly into shepherding in the New Testament. Alright, so I want to examine passages which describe and speak of the role of shepherds in the New Testament. Now, first of all, so what you may do here, you may just make subheadings, okay, as we go. So, the first one here will be John 21, 15 to 17. Did you get that? John 21, 15 to 17. We said that amongst God's people, among Christ's people, will be found under shepherds, right? Now, Peter was to be one of those under shepherds. Okay, Peter. And we see that Jesus gives him that commission. John 21. Let's see that quickly. John 21, verse 15. Now, this is after Jesus had died, he was buried, and then he was raised the third day for the sins of mankind. So he has a meeting with his disciples. Alright, then see what happens here, verse 15, John 21. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to me, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Underline that. Feed my lambs. Now that phrase, feed my lambs, is a pastoral allusion. You follow that? A pastoral allusion. Boske ta ania in the Greek. That's that phrase. Boske ta ania. Okay. It literally means help my lambs find pasture. Hallelujah. Help my lambs find pasture. Feed them. Nourish them. Care for them. Which is actually what the typical shepherd in Israel did. Amen. So Jesus then applies that role to the leader of his people. You follow that? He spiritualizes it. So the same way that you find shepherds feed, nourish, and care for their sheep, so Peter was to feed, nourish, and care for his sheep. Now his sheep are his people. Hallelujah. Okay, he repeats the same allusion in two different ways in the two succeeding verses. Verse 16, it says, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Underline that, tend my sheep. Now the phrase tend my sheep, poimanita propata in the Greek, means guide my sheep. Okay, that's that phrase in the Greek. Guide my sheep. Now that phrase speaks more of governance. You follow that? And control than feed my sheep. In verse 15, poimanita probata, okay, it speaks more of governance and control than feed my sheep in verse 15. So it has to do with guiding and guarding. So what is Jesus saying here? Jesus is telling Peter, lead my sheep on the path to go. Hallelujah. Ensure that my sheep do not go astray. Now that is the role of a pastor. You see that so far? Alright, then verse 17 of that same chapter. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Underline that, feed my sheep. Now he repeats that same word from verse 15. Boske. Okay, which means to help find pasture. But interesting, Jesus here uses the word probata instead of arnia. You follow that? Now probata is mature sheep. You follow that? Arnia are baby sheep or lambs. You get it? So Jesus here seems to imply that over time, the work of the pastor would mature the lambs, okay, into full-grown sheep. You get it? So they begin as lambs, they mature, hallelujah, into full-grown sheep. Now also notice that the shepherd shows Jesus how much he loves him by how much he cares for the sheep. Do you see that there? Okay, to shepherd the sheep is a show of love for the master of the sheep. You notice that Jesus keeps repeating that phrase, do you love me, right? Do you love me? Do you love me? Before he commissions Peter. So that duty, amen, will be born out of love for Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, so the shepherd shows the Lord how much he loves him by how much he cares for his sheep. Do you see that so far? Alright, then another subheading under this, that is another text that describes the role of the pastor, is Acts 20. Please turn your Bible there. Acts 20, verse 28 to 31. Acts 20, 28 to 31. Now here, Paul calls the Ephesian pastors, right? The Ephesian elders. He calls a meeting with them. And then he admonishes them, saying, verse 28, it says, therefore take heed, underline that, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, underline that, made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, underline that, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. That one says, therefore watch, on the line that, therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. See that? So let's unpack this a little bit. Now observe what the pastor does here. Now number one, so you're listening here. Number one, he takes heed. Verse 28, right? Now, under that, one eye to himself. Did you see that in verse 28? He takes heed to himself. So that's eye under number one. Okay, you remember you're listening, right? Okay, now that word prosecho in the Greek. P-R-O-S-E-C-H-O. The last O accentuated. Prosecho, which means to give full attention to. Hallelujah. To give full attention to. The minister is to be an example to the flock, so he must pay attention to his duties. Not only that, his way of life and his doctrine. You follow that? So a responsible minister is one who ensures that his life is a model to others. Hence this instruction. And you observe that Paul gave that same instruction to Archippus. Colossians 4 verse 17. Colossians 4 verse 17, it says, and say to Archippus, take heed, underline that, take heed to the ministry which you've received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Now it says something similar to Timothy as well. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14. You may turn there. 1 Timothy 4 verse 14, it says, do not neglect the gift that is in you. Underline that, do not neglect. It says, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. So the pastor must pay full attention to the work committed to his trust. See that? Is not to neglect the same. Okay, under number one, to the flock. Remember, he takes it right to himself, then to the flock. Now the flock refers to the saints, which are the sheep of Christ. John 10 verse 11, you see that there clearly. Jesus speaking there says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Follow that? So the sheep are the people of Christ, the saints, amen, believers. Alright, so the pastor has the responsibility to not only pay attention to his ministry, but also to those to whom he ministers. You see that? He pays attention to his ministry and also to those to whom he ministers. So the pastor is to watch over their safety. Hallelujah. Just like the shepherd watches over the sheep. Then number two here, pastors are overseers. Pastors are overseers. Verse 28 of that same chapter, you see that there, episkopos in the Greek, episkopos, episkopos, which means a superintendent. Okay, a superintendent used in ancient times for a ruler or supervisor. So as overseer, the pastor keeps an eye out for the sheep. You see that there? Okay, to provide care and protection. So that is what it means that pastors are overseers, okay? Episcopos. Then number three, pastors shepherd the church of God. Now that's that word poimano. Remember that verb used there, which means to tend, guide, feed. Okay, to tend, guide, feed. Then number four, pastors safeguard sheep from wolves. Verse 29 of that chapter, you see that there. Now those wolves are false teachers. Okay, verse 30 says that they speak perverse things. Okay, that refers to false doctrines. So the instruction to pastors in verse 31 of that chapter is therefore watch. See that there, verse 31. Therefore watch, that is, be vigilant. Okay, ensure that no wolf destroys your sheep with false teaching, with false doctrine. Pastors owe this duty to Christ, okay, to care for a sheep which he purchased with his own blood. Verse 28 of that chapter. Hallelujah. Okay, then another text which speaks of pastors is Ephesians 4 verse 11. As we begin to close, Ephesians 4:11. Are you there? Are you there now? Ephesians 4:11. It says, "And he himself, he there being Jesus the Christ, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Underline that, pastors and teachers. Now you notice that the word "and" follows pastors and precedes teachers, right? Now the word "and" there translates the Greek "kai." Now I've told you that that word can either be used as a conjunction or copulative, right? When it's a conjunction, it separates, right, between two nouns, but as a copulative, it further explains the previously stated. Now here it is copulative. So you can read this text better this way. Pastors who are teachers. You follow that? He himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors who are teachers. Or you can say teaching shepherds. Alright? Now, typically, shepherds feed the sheep with grass. Okay, typically. But these shepherds are spiritual. So they feed by teaching. You follow that? So the food is words. Hallelujah. Those are pastors, okay? The food is words. And these they do, verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Verses 12 to 16. Okay? So they are feeding by teaching matures the saints. See that? For ministry. You can summarize verses 12 to 16 as maturity for ministry. So that will be the role of the teaching shepherd. Hallelujah. And lastly, another text that speaks of pastors is 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4, as we close. First Peter 5, 1 to 4. It says, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder. Remember, Jesus had commissioned Peter, right? Okay, so he says that here. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partake of the glory that will be revealed. 2 says, shepherd the flock of God. Underline that, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Underline that, serving as overseers. So he's speaking to pastors, right? He says, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Underline that, being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, who is that? Jesus, okay, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So what Peter does here is that he reiterates or he repeats the revelation found in the epistles about the pastor. You get it? It says the same thing you found throughout the epistles about the office of the pastor. Now, number one, the pastor is an elder. Amen? You see that in verse 1, right? He is an elder. Presbyteros in the Greek. Presbyteros. Presbyteros, which literally means a president. Okay, that's that word, a president, the one who has and exercises authority over an assembly. That is the pastor. Follow that? Okay, then number 2, the pastor is to shepherd the flock. Verse 2, right? That same verb, poimano, is used here, which means that the pastor tends and cares for the flock of God. Amen? Alright, he is their shepherd. He tends and cares for the flock of God. Then 3, the pastor serves as overseer. Verse 2, now to serve as overseer, episkopio in the Greek, episkopio, the last O accentuated, means to exercise oversight. Amen? To exercise oversight are used for one who inspects the life of others. That is the overseer, okay? One who inspects the life of others, ensuring that all is how they ought to be. Okay? So the pastor is that one that knows the strength and the weaknesses of his flock. Follow that? You know, the pastor must be very observant. You get it? So his eyes are on each of his flock. He knows which ones can pray well. Follow that? Which ones can't really pray well. You know, when he gives assignments, he knows, okay, these are the ones who submit on time. You get it? These are the ones who don't. These are the ones who submit a bit late. These are the ones that submit late. These are the ones that don't even submit at all. You follow that? That is a pastor. He sees all of that. You know, as the case may be, he knows those who are responsible, those who duties, responsibilities can be given to, and they will carry them out well. Get it? So as an overseer, he looks at the flock to ensure that everyone is how they ought to be. Follow that? His eyes are always on the lookout for God's people. Then number 4, the pastor is to be an example. Praise the Lord. He is to be an example to the flock. You see that in verse 3 of that same chapter. Now that word example, tupos in the Greek, T-U-P-O-S, refers to a model. Okay? A model worthy of imitation. A model worthy of imitation. So the pastor is one whose lifestyle God's people can emulate. You follow that? Okay, so these are the characteristics of a pastor. This is what his office entails. So you see that by the spirit of the shepherd in them and upon them, these under shepherds, these pastors, carry out that role and that duty of caring for, safeguarding, and feeding the sheep of Christ, which are his dear possession, bought by his own blood. Hallelujah. Did you learn? We continue from here. Lift your hands, give him praise. Thank you.